The following is a presentation of the Black Hollywood Live Network, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. Hollywood, redefined. From Los Angeles, California, streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is Black Hollywood Live, The Beat. Featuring the week's roundup and commentary on music news. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood, redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host of Black Hollywood Live, The Beat.
Hey.
Hey.
We're gonna come in. This is our theme song. Shout out to Sia Moon.
Let's go. Let's go.
What up, y'all? It's your boy DJ Jesse Jennity here in studio for Black Hollywood Live's The Beat. Yeah. I am joined by the King. Jay Watts.
The king, man.
I don't know, I'm just gonna
give it to you this day.
We in the building. Let's go. Turn up.
What are we doing? Sir, you king. And speaking of kings, we have a queen. We have, ladies and gentlemen, from Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. House of Margo is in the building.
We need that round of applause.
Yes. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Can't keep them away.
Calm it down.
This is awesome. Oh, my God.
Welcome to L.A.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We have a lot to talk about.
Okay, cool.
Because you've been a very busy girl, and you've been throughout the media a lot this year.
Yeah.
Love and Hip Hop is kind of a big deal.
I didn't realize that, you know.
Okay, before we get started, I just really have to know.
Okay.
From watching the show, you go on the show, and you're surprised because you find out about a sex tape.
Yes.
So for a whole year, you had no idea that your husband was on Love and Hip Hop.
No, I knew. No, I knew he was on Love and Hip Hop. I knew everything that was going on because we were separated. Mm-hmm. But he told me about it a month before the rest of the world knew about it. Mm. I just didn't want to be a part of any of it, so that's why no one heard from me. So it's not like he was doing anything sneaky. It's just that I'm an artist. I was doing my own thing. Yeah. We had, you know, it's not the Margo and Nico show. There's a whole history to us that, you know, I had no idea about the show or how things worked. So I was like, well, are they going to know about us or anything, you know? But we would have our conversations behind scene. And, yeah, he was doing his thing. And he told me a month before it came out.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to come back to all that. But okay. I want to focus on the artistry of Margo.
Oh, yay. Right. Thank you.
So, as we do that, I'm going to go through some hot topics that we've had this week, and I just want to hear, you know, what you're thinking about them, how you feel.
Okay.
Did you guys hear about Wiz Khalifa? Which glasses are everything, by the way.
Thank you. I don't even take them off and on, because they're just so awesome, but it's like, you know, I like to see.
Yeah. Give the kids some of your eyes.
So, yeah. You
know? All right, so Wiz Khalifa. Yeah. Okay. Did you hear about this?
He
got
man.
He got arrested. He didn't get detained, but he got arrested.
He
was at LAX riding one of these things that everyone is riding, these Iohawk party boards. Have you had a chance to ride one of these?
No, but they look like the future.
They look
fun, right?
They look fun.
Especially if you're wearing, like, the Kanye West sneakers. Yeah. I feel like it's very back to the future.
Yeah. It's back to the future for sure.
What did he get detained for? I don't understand.
Well, apparently he was riding this throughout the airport, and they asked him to get off it, and he said, no, I can ride this. Like, everyone's riding these days.
Right.
And he kind of gave him a little trouble with it, and they were like, no. So they arrested him, but he didn't get detained. They let him go.
Okay.
I just feel like this is clearly going to be a problem in the future. So airports, let's just say
you know,
don't ride these anymore.
Don't ride them.
Right. But I feel like it's going that way anyway. This is like a wave of the future, and I think Wiz even made a statement saying that, like, this is where we're going. So I don't see what the big problem is, and with all the police brutality, it's gonna make the issue look a lot bigger than it is, you know what I'm saying?
Well, he posted a video clip online, and everyone was like, Wiz Khalifa's getting arrested. I'm like, wrong time to be doing that.
Especially for something like that, you know. It just kind of devalues I guess all the other real police brutality that happens.
Exactly.
Thank
so trivial.
Ding ding. All right.
Yeah, so.
So, this is where I'm really excited to actually kind of get your opinion on. Okay. Azealia Banks.
Okay.
She has had this back and forth with media, period.
Right.
But she says that she does not want black media to cover Azealia Banks at all. She said, please, please, please keep my name out your mouth.
Oh.
I'm begging you to stop covering me. She says, black media has damaged her brand. Black media is a bunch of hypocrites. They build you up to tear you down. BET doesn't play my videos, but they play white videos with a couple black people in it. Now,
man,
she went on this Twitter rant, right?
Yeah.
And then I started looking at it, and I was like, black media? I was like, why is she coming at black media? And I really started looking into it, and her biggest complaint is people were getting upset that she would be on certain covers of magazines, and she felt like, okay, well, black people are getting mad at me for being on these magazines, but Ebony ain't calling me to be on their magazine.
Right.
All
the, you know, black-owned businesses aren't calling me to say, hey, we want you to be a part of our journey.
Right. For sure.
She makes a lot of good points. She
really does.
Throughout time, I mean, I don't necessarily think it's always done the best way, you know, because
she's young.
Yeah, it's always good to put it in the art. But I mean, being from Toronto, being from Canada, I see things a little differently that I never really saw until I came here to the United States. And she makes some valid points, you know. Sometimes black media can be harsh. I mean, they can, you know, we can be real harsh sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's like all media, man. And it's a very sensitive subject when you speak about race, especially in America.
Yeah.
To make a generalization on anything, I think is a big, that's a big statement.
Mm-hmm.
To say black media and blanket everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Just everybody.
It's like, I don't know, but I definitely feel her sentiment because we do struggle with this a lot in the black community as media is, you know, associated with it, where artists feel like it's like a bit of a hypocritical stance that a lot of the outlets and the corporations take with certain artists. So I understand where she's coming from. It's just more like, how do you got to be sensitive to it. How do you say it? You know what I'm saying?
Well, how do you, coming from Canada, as far as media goes, what's the kind of the, I mean, I don't know what the difference really is as far as like how they build up their celebrities or how they talk about their celebrities?
Well, see, first growing up, we never had an urban station. To tune in to anything urban, we had to try and like tune into this like station in Buffalo to hear anything hip hop, and okay. We just didn't have that. So growing up, I mean, I listened to so many different artists, and by one, because I had no choice.
Yeah.
Two, my father's Jamaican and my mom, so we, you know, it's just a whole different world of stuff that I got a chance to listen to. Coming here, it's still a lot very segregated in some ways, which
That's
surprise.
So interesting.
It's to be surprised. Like, I just never thought it would be. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
I understand.
It's like people feel like they have to be in pockets.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to be in a pocket to make sense. And I feel like people need labels for it to make sense for themselves. Even if, like, you as an artist, you don't want to be put in that box, it makes sense for other people to put you in that box or label you that way. You know, you're black and you do hip-hop, R&B, it makes sense.
Right.
But if you do something outside of that, it's almost like they don't really get it. There's a pocket of people that get it, but again, that's the label. That's the Afropunk crowd or the, you know what I mean?
That's strong.
It's funny because
I agree with that.
As I'm kind of digging deeper with the Azealia Banks thing, I was like, all right, let me go look at some instances that she's had gone through in the past. So when Iggy Azalea versus Azealia Banks, black media built Azealia Banks up to tear Iggy Azalea down.
Mm.
And then as soon as she did that interview, I think it was on Power 107, where she broke down and cried and talked about what it was like growing up and how she felt like she was never accepted and stuff like that. It just seemed like everyone started turning on Azealia Banks, being like, well, look at the way she says things and how she's saying that. And she sounds so ignorant, and which there are times where she does come off sounding ignorant. I understand the message that she's trying to put out there, but I know that
it's how you do it.
Yeah.
That's why I feel
her. So is it the cultural difference that you're thinking she's not really...
She's angry. She has a right to be angry, because I've felt that way at times, too, as an artist. It's just that I think that, you know, for me, I do it in a different way. I, like, say it differently. But I think she's a dope artist.
Yeah,
I really do.
Sure.
I mean, but I've had my share. I'm a black girl who knows how to play guitar. And when I was doing pop rock, I had some white exec say, oh, you're a black girl doing pop rock. I don't get it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but when you're a white girl sometimes doing pop R&B, it's like, ooh, it's so awesome. And black people love it. Oh, she can sing. And so it's like there's this divide that we give amongst each other just because it makes sense.
Right.
You know,
right.
Is that only an American thing that you see, or is that more accepted, like in a Canada or Europe?
Well, Canada's so multicultural. I mean, so many of my friends growing up, you know, were white, but former Yugoslavia, Russian, German, Austrian, you
they
name it.
They just approach race so differently.
Yeah, it's very different. Not saying it's not there. Yeah. It's just different.
And even in America, in the different pockets, like you being from the East Coast, Jay, and me being from the Midwest and then the South, it's even more culturally different every area you go into. So
yeah.
It's like, it's all media. It's not just black media. That's what I'm saying. It's all media that puts these titles and these blankets on things. So,
Right, because Azalea Banks, Black Hollywood Live supports you. We play your videos.
You.
Every time you've dropped a video, we play your video. Yeah, so come on to here. Come on to Black Hollywood Live.
Yeah, you guys should have her here. You should have her here.
Okay, so next, how do you feel about Teyana Taylor? Do you hear too much about her?
Not really, no.
Well, here's my issue with it.
Okay.
Is that Teyana Taylor is very talented, right? Mm-hmm. She comes from New York.
Indeed.
She keeps dropping music, and it's not getting played. It's not getting heard. It's
doesn't
not
catch.
Like, if anyone wants to get mad at Azalea Banks, it should be Teyana Taylor. She just dropped, and so this is just a promo plug. Teyana Taylor just dropped a mixtape. It's called the cassette mixtape 1994. You guys have to download. So what she did was she took samples of 90 songs of her favorite from 1994, her favorite songs from that year, and she made her own like mixes to them.
Yeah,
so
dope. That's creative, man.
Very Eric Bellinger, but it was really dope. So make sure you guys check that out. It's for free online.
For free.
Cool.
For 99.
Chris Brown came out also this week to talk about that he's going to be naming his new album after his babe girl.
Man, Chris.
That's sweet.
Royalty.
I like it. You like that?
Yeah.
What do you think? I like it, man. I think it's cool.
He's embracing his life.
Yes.
You know?
And I hope that we get to hear some lyrics that are attached to that.
So,
not just naming it that.
Right.
And Chris is a good guy, man. You know, I had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with Chris Brown. He's a cool dude, man. He's very creative, like overpouring with creativity.
Right.
So I'm excited to see what he does with this project. I think it's going to be really cool, though.
Yeah, he's super talented. I'd love to work with him, too. He's a great artist.
I want to see you guys paint together.
Oh, that would be great. That'd like be do solid. A whole like art show or something. Absolutely.
Did you see his new head tattoos?
No.
So Chris Brown just got... I wasn't going to talk about it because I was like, I ain't going to talk about this man's tattoos. But the world's talking about it. He got these two tattoos. I guess he had like a really crazy night.
Okay.
And so it's this Greek goddess on the back of his head and then a bull that's looking pissed off at the Greek goddess on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I do what the fuck I want when I want.
Okay.
And posted that on Instagram. And so, all right, Chris.
That must have been painful because I know my hand tattoo was...
That's a real tattoo.
Yeah.
I saw it in the pictures. I was like, is that henna?
No, it's real. It was excruciating.
That was the worst tattoo that you've gotten?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have that many. This is all I have. I've always...
They're creatively placed.
Thank you.
We can say that.
Thank you.
Where did that stem from, that idea?
Well, I'm really into Nazca lines, which is in the Peruvian desert. And they say that the Nazca people drew them because they think they connected to the gods. And you can only see them from up high, and they say that they were done with one continuous line, and they're different shapes, different lines. So this is kind of like my version of it.
Now, does it have a specific meaning? Because the red thing is a Kabbalah, right?
Yeah, this is Kabbalah, which my girlfriend gave to me. But this is basically my version of like Nazca lines, and I've always wanted a hand tattoo. And there's some other cool artists that I really like that I see on Instagram. Like, I'm inspired every day by so many different people.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh man, she's got a cool hand tattoo. And Nazca lines is like, I'm gonna do something like that and my version of it. So
that's hot.
When did you
nobody steal her tattoo?
When did you get this tattoo?
I got this 3 weeks ago now, so it's still actually.
And this is your first tattoo?
This is my second. These two are my first, which is Rich Freedom, it's what I live by.
Oh, okay.
And then I did this, and then a week later I did this.
And Rich Freedom, what does that stand for?
Rich Freedom is just doing what you love to do and being able to afford it and being free. And I feel like that's what we're all striving for, is being able to do what we were called to do and be the best versions of ourselves. And rich is, monetary, but rich in your craft or what you love
soul.
To do.
That's
soul and being free with it. So Rich Freedom.
That's maybe we got an album title for the next...
Oh, nope. Hold on that. We're going to talk about that album title. All right, but before we do, so I'm going to play some music for you.
Okay.
And I just want... You haven't heard any of these songs before, so I just want your... initial reaction to these.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So the first one is a cover song. Our little engineer, Alexis.
Alexis.
Okay. Hey, Alexis.
I love Alexis.
She sent me this after our show last week, and I fell in love with it. So okay. His name is Josh Levy, and he did a Trap Queen cover. You guys can find him on YouTube.
Okay.
Check it.
I'm like, hey, what's up, hello? Seen your pretty face soon as you came in the door. I just wanna chill, got a set for us to roll. Married to the money, introduced her to my stove. Showed her how to whip and now she remixing for low. She my trap queen, let her hit the bed, no. We be counting up, watch how far them bends go. We just set a goal, talking matching Lambos. 50, 60 grand, rob 100 grams though. Man, I swear I love her, how she working on the pole. Hit the strip club, we be letting bands go. Everybody hating, we just call them fans though. In love with the money, I ain't never letting go. And I get high with my baby. I just left the mall, I'm getting fly with my baby, yeah. And I can ride with my baby. I be in the kitchen cooking pies with my baby, yeah.
Josh Levy, Trap Queen.
I like that. That's
cute, right?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was better than the...
Well, well, say it, say good, it. I'm just saying.
Good.
Vocally, it was better than the original. Yeah, let's just keep that. It was a well. But I mean, but shout out to Fetty Wap.
Yeah, shout out Fetty,
Trap
man.
Queens, everything.
Shut up.
But so okay, here's why I love it a lot, because I just feel like this is the future. People
yeah.
can take a song, they can put it out there. And they're literally in their driveway.
Yeah.
But they put the, they invested the money, and if Queen, our other co-host, she's in New York right now,
okay.
she would say, okay, here's what I like about this.
That's Queen. Right?
They invested in a camera.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look cheap.
You're right.
And then, I don't know why I'm making it sound like she's from Jersey.
Queenie killing you on that.
That was cool. I love YouTube. Yeah. I love YouTube. It takes it and it gives it to the people to
yeah.
say, you can do what you want to do.
Straight up.
How you want to do it. You yeah. don't have to wait for someone to put you on. You can put yourself up.
And there was quality, like you said, man. Like, that was a quality video.
Yeah.
To be a cover,
mm-hmm.
I was very impressed. That's better than a lot of the videos I see from some of these artists.
I actually liked it better than the Sam Smith cover.
Yeah, that's
so
that
shout
solid.
Out to you, Josh.
Yeah, I like that, man. Straight
which
up.
Is funny about YouTube is how I find a lot of artists nowadays. It's
yeah.
I literally be hunting on YouTube.
Yeah.
And so on Love and Hip Hop, when you came out and you had the, you said you were gonna do the Start a War video, and we were like, oh god, who's this new bitch on Love and Hip Hop thinking she a singer singing at a karaoke thing, like what's she about to do?
Uh-huh.
So we go in on some of the artists on this. So I was like, okay, let me be fair,
okay.
and let me YouTube some of these girls.
Okay.
So we YouTubed them. Now Jessica Dime, I prefer what I saw on YouTube versus what I'm seeing on the show.
Okay.
Now, with you, I like Start a War.
Thank you.
But mm-hmm. I love I Call the Shots.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I went on YouTube and I started Googling and researching you, and I see this video. I'm like, what is she wearing in this video? And we clicked it, and I was like, it gives me like a 90s Gwen Stefani, No Doubt, Funkified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did that sound for you come from?
Well, that's the one thing.
Because it seems very different from the other stuff that you recorded. Unless
it is.
I'm missing a mixtape or something.
No, it is. I've done music my whole life. That's what I've done. I just happened to have a personal life that ended up on Love and Hip Hop.
Mm.
So I used to live in L.A., and I did a mixtape. I did a project. Before that, I was in a group called Test Drive.
Mm.
Actually with Nico okay. and Timberland, Danger Hands. Like, they produced the album. It was like a deal going through Universal.
Wait, so is you and Nico in the group?
Called Test Drive.
This just
was,
you two?
Mm-hmm. And it, just years ago. This was actually really just before the Black Eyed Peas took off. This,
oh,
we never
okay.
got the chance to get to the light of day. We were going through this deal on Universal and everything, and that's another story. But long story short, I was in L.A. and I did an EP called Animal House, and I Call the Shots was on there. I've always been a huge fan of Gwen Stefani, Missing Persons, Dale Bozio. Like, that was
yeah.
my vibe, you know, growing
yeah.
up. So I've always wanted, that was my thing. So when I was able to do my first EP, that was the vibe. I was playing guitar heavy, and I was doing shows out here in L.A., and that's I Call the Shots. I shot it here in L.A. just on the,
it looks so
on
LA.
The street. Yeah.
And very, again, YouTube, you if you have a talent, you have the creativity, now is the time and the age to be able to
do it.
Express
yeah.
yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Form of expression. And I think, like, just your whole vibe is, like, so cool, so different. I think you're going to be big. What do you think?
Oh, I mean, we've already said this on Love and Hip Hop on our after show over at AfterBuzz TV. We say it all the time. Be a little confused with the Nico situation. Maybe a lot of confused with it, but we're going to get to that in a second.
Okay.
But
let's do that.
As far as artists goes, we have definitely said that out of all the girls who have come out of Love and Hip Hop, we can see you branching off into music. I just need you not to show up on that next season, girl.
That means a lot.
From the show.
But see, it was a good platform because then I was able to meet guys like you.
Now run.
So in that direction.
Girl! No, all right, before we get to that, though, Our City and Adam Levine just dropped their new video for Locked Away.
Okay.
Adam Levine just put this man on. Like, legit. 4 million views in, like, a week. Here we go. Our City, Locked Away. And you know the song once you hear it.
Okay.
Princess.
Adam Levine signed him?
Living.
I don't know if he signed him or not. Probably, actually, because he's really putting
all these bills. Are they going to get paid?
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law.
If I got locked away and we lost it all today, tell me honestly, would you still love me the same? If I showed you my flaws, if I couldn't be strong, tell me honestly, would you still love me the same?
Right about now.
If I judge for life, man, would you stay by my side? Or is you gonna say goodbye? Can you tell me right now? If I couldn't buy you the fancy things in life, shawty, would it be alright? Come and show me that you don't.
Now tell me, would you really ride for me? Really
ride for Yo, hey, Our cool. City, what you thinking about that?
I think it's cool. Is he Jamaican?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm trying to see if he's the same one that does, you know that song? Oh, I think I'm going to find myself a cheerleader.
Yeah, who does that song?
I'm pretty sure it's him. I don't know why my Our phone City is not working out. Alexis, can you see who that is? No, it's not. It's
That's
OC something.
Our City.
I will look it up.
It's not him, though. I'm just remembering.
They're formerly Rock City.
There you go.
But yeah, they're big producers and writers. They got a lot of hits, man. They got a lot of hits under their belts, and they're very talented. It's a group of brothers.
Dude, like...
Cool. They're dope, though.
So you lived in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I love L.A. I love the culture of L.A. However, L.A. is very bubble. Like... Yeah. You cannot find good island clubs out here, like, to go listen to dance hall and reggae. Like, you cannot.
Yeah, I couldn't find that either.
It's irritating. And then when you play it, I'm a DJ, so when I play it out here, people are like, what is that? It's like, is this 2001? I'm like, no, bitch, dance.
Get your dance on.
All right, last song. Our homie here at the beat, Rico Love, put out a new video called Happy Birthday.
Okay.
It's everything.
Shout out Rico.
I did cheerleader. There we go. Okay, thank you.
Oh, my.
All right, so shout out to Rico Love. Let's check it out. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
I think this is going to be his, like, it's going to launch him off right here.
His big hit.
Well, I mean, he's genius, but I think it's going to put him back out there.
J'arrive pas à y croire que je suis là avec toi. C'est comme un nouveau monde pour moi.
Wanna make her feel like she just turned 21. Wanna take her out with all of her friends and let them all get fucked up. Throwing at the party in the penthouse when we done. I don't wanna see none of y'all walking around with empty cups.
Turn the lights on.
You mean to tell me you flew this far to be acting all bougie? Them heels that dress you bad and you ought to be shaking your booty.
Oh shit, here we are, champagne, candy, okay, lips, I'll blow them candles, you're a superstar. Oh shit, here we are, champagne, candy,
I'm mad she's having so much trouble blowing that balloon up.
I know.
Happy birthday.
I like the vibe of the video.
Yeah. Right, it gives me that. What's that Lady Gaga video?
Oh, Just Dance or something? Yeah.
The video's hot, man. The music's hot.
It gives me if Just Dance, Fiona Apple, and Diddy had a baby, it would be this video.
Yeah.
Remember the Fiona Apple Criminal video?
I don't, but I know the 90s are back.
And full effect.
They show off. All right, Margo, let's get into you. I want to talk some stuff with you. Why? You were nervous, you said earlier in the show. You said you were nervous about your life being put on TV and you didn't want it to be about this thing. So why did you join the cast of Love & Hip Hop?
Well,
what was kind of the final pushover, like, fine, I'll just do it?
Because I started to hear things that I knew about. Like, I was involved in the whole tape thing. Like, I hate talking about this. Oh, God, it's so rusty. But I didn't want to be attached to something like that that I didn't do. And I felt like, what better way to, like, say who I am, mm-hmm. define myself. I mean, feel like I'm the only one who could speak up for Nico, and that's why I did it. Like, I'm an artist. That's what I've done my whole life. And nothing is more frustrating than working on your craft. And then
hearing this stuff.
And then, yeah, you put out a song or you tweet something, and then the response is, you have a couple of people like, oh, that's dope. But then you have a major response that's like, oh, but aren't you the secret wife of Nico and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I didn't work that hard to have that be my legacy.
Right.
Like, that I'm attached to a tape, you know.
So when you started hearing the secret wife thing, that was Nico had already told you about the show? Or was it kind of like, wait, what is this?
No, I knew from when he went down there, I knew.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, none of that was a secret. The only thing is, but, you know, it's hard for me to just sit here and, like, put all the blame on him. Like, we had so much history. I wasn't perfect. I was
right.
young.
I remember,
you know?
Hearing you say that too.
Yeah, and it's just, I can't.
And at that time, you had already been talking to your current girlfriend, correct?
No, I was dating someone else. And
oh,
my
okay.
girlfriend wasn't even in the picture yet, you know? Yeah, it's
yeah.
like, we just went through so much that it's like, how can I sit here and just say you did all this stuff and let the world blame you and they don't know anything about us? And it was really also my own guilt and my own things of how the relationship went to demise, why it was like I felt like I needed to come out. And
why did you hold on so long
to Nico?
Yeah.
It's like that.
And did you ever go back and rewind and watch the past season?
No.
Did you ever see the past season that he was on?
Seen
no.
it?
I heard clips. I've
no.
seen things, but it pained me in here. Because
it didn't make you curious a little bit to hear that people were saying he's this evil guy, manipulative, and like, wouldn't you? I mean, you guys have been together 11 years, was it, or seven?
10
years.
Married for,
I mean,
eight.
You know what I mean? That's a long time.
Yeah.
But he's
and,
not like that.
But you say that, but then you're hearing all this stuff. It doesn't make you kind of be like, wait a minute.
Well, I just, if you're someone in my life and you still treat me the same way, well, then that's all I can go off of. We weren't on the best terms, I will say that. He wasn't perfect, you know, by any means. But at the same time, there was so much going on in our personal life. Like, we still kept lines of communication open. But it's not like he was cheating on me. And I was trying to move on and see someone else.
So you're saying he wasn't cheating on you because you guys were split up in his head, so his relationship with Mimi was not cheating on you?
It was not cheating on me,
okay.
But we still had a very deep emotional connection, which I feel like those are the hardest to end, you know?
Yeah.
You don't go, like, living in a rehearsal studio with someone trying to push your music to be like, fuck you, you
right.
know? And again, it was just because also I was kind of seeing someone too off and on.
Okay.
That I felt like I couldn't put all the blame on him. Like, I wasn't perfect. It didn't just, like, when I said, like, I cheated on you, I was sorry. This is stuff we already knew, he
right.
and I. Just the rest of the world didn't know. So I was only saying it to make it an open place for us to get to a new level that I thought he would also say, well, I'm sorry too for hurting you. It wasn't perfect, but it just became like, oh, that's why you went so hard on the other girl, because you cheated. I'm like, no, it wasn't black and white. It's not the Margo and Nico show. So there's
right.
so much stuff people don't get a chance to know.
Well, as far as then bringing Mimi into the situation, because what was really confusing for me,
mm-hmm.
especially hearing a lot of the things you say, because, like, kind of when Jocelyn will come at you or other girls will come at you, you're very like, girl, like, calm down.
Yeah.
Very chill, very zen. And I really appreciate that kind of shade, because it's like, I know how much it irritates people.
Yes.
Now,
like, oh.
I know, because I can't wait to talk about that reunion. But with that being said,
mm-hmm.
okay, what irritated me is, so, like, on the reunion, I hear you say this statement. You brought up the whole Nico being gay thing, and you were like, you know, and this shames the black community, and you went into that. So my curiosity is,
mm-hmm.
do you ever think about, and maybe it's just, I know reality TV shows. I do Bad Girls Club over at AfterBuzz, too.
Okay.
And I've seen an unedited show before.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
it's a totally
different
show.
Thing.
Yeah.
Totally different show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. I can't even express it, how different of a show it is.
Yeah.
It made me, like, love everybody on the show and be like, wow, I
mm-hmm.
understand it now.
Right.
But you know, when they got to get them paychecks and they got to pay the bills with the commercials and all that stuff, they got to cut it down a little bit. Okay, right. So what bothered me with your situation was I was confused as to, here you sound so intelligent, like, you know, like, because I was rooting for you, Margo. I was like, Margo, you're going to come on this show, shut Nico down, and it's going to be like, rah, rah, rah. Mm-hmm. But instead it turned and it flipped on Mimi, and it seemed like you and Mimi were having this headbutting thing, and it's kind of something that I talked with some of my friends about, but why is it that when a situation like this happens, the women are always attacking each other, and it never gets turned on the man to be like, did you lie to both of us? Were we both victims in this, you know? And if we are both victims, how do we kind of maybe not involve each other in each other's lives, but not attack each other? Because it just comes across like you're attacking Mimi, and like Nico has done nothing wrong in this show or in real life. Until the scene you sat down with Nico and his mom, that was kind of, for me, a scene like, oh wow, y'all really fuck with each other, because her mom, his mom was checking on you like you is her kiki friend, you know what I mean? So for you, as far as the whole Mimi situation, why was that so difficult for you to understand, or to understand or want to listen to her? Because you did seem to have some sort of bond with Arian, too. So, well, I would assume that Arian's telling you, like, it's not Mimi's fault, like, and that kind of
thing. This is the thing. I am a total girl's girl. I'm all for women empowerment. And I didn't want to talk about her today, but I feel like this is probably something I need to address, because I haven't had, like, much of a platform to say it. And the show, again, they can't keep everything. So there is things that have to be cut out. Not blaming anyone, but that's, you know, it'd be 50 hours of editing. But I'll say this. The reason why I was upset with her is because she had said I knew about the tape and one part of a scene that no one got a chance to see. And I was like, excuse me? Like, you are not going to implicate me in something that you chose to do. So then I started fighting over a character issue. But, of course, it looks like I'm mad at her because she was with Nico. No, has nothing to do with that. I really went in there thinking that me and her could have a glass of wine. Like, shit, you know, whatever. It is what it is. And move on.
And this was the picnic scene that we had seen.
No, this is before I even got on the show. I went down there, I was like, oh, it'll be fine. You know what I mean? I know she didn't know, but maybe when I explain he didn't cheat and there's all this stuff, it'd be fine. But when it came down to, you knew about the tape and you did this, I was like, what? Like, I was distraught in my house, and I felt like it was trying to implicate me in something because she didn't want to admit her involvement in it. This is something that two adults did. I had nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Nothing.
In which you didn't know about it till a month before the taping, right?
Right, and I would never, like, and then people were saying I was sitting back and collecting a check. I'm like, listen, I would never exploit a woman like that on purpose, and, like, because Nico didn't say we were married, because I didn't want anyone to know. I wasn't causing a problem. I thought we were going to seamlessly probably get a divorce behind the scenes, and that's what it was. And yes, we had a lot of unfinished business and stuff to talk about, me and Nico, but I wasn't planning to do it on the show.
Right.
And the reason I came on was to say, I'm going to define myself for me, because he can't talk for me, and millions of people who don't know me can't talk for me. So she and I started fighting over a character issue. Like, I would not do that to another woman, and you're not going to implement that. So I was really upset about that. I was really
mad. Was there that kind of a conversation, though, as far as, like, because, I mean, we didn't see that. We didn't see you guys sitting down and having a conversation talking about, girl, I personally would never do that to you. We didn't see that kind of, like, that.
I know.
Which I thought Arian was kind of going to be the mold, because I was just like, was, for you, first of all, you hiring Arian, was that a little low-key type of shade, or was it just, we genuinely did not see the clips of you two getting a bond and having this understanding of art? Because I do know Arian. I don't know her that well, but I do know the type of people that she does like to surround herself with, and they are very artistic. Mm-hmm. You remind me of somebody that I do know that she is cool with. Mm-hmm. So I can see that bond actually building there.
Well, again, I'm an artist. It's just what I do. And, like, I never let those personal situations get in the way of what I do, but I'm on a show, so of course it's going to look like that. But, I mean, I'm an artist, you know? Like, I paint, I draw, and we seem cool. She wasn't screaming in my face the first, and she had nothing to even do with this whole situation. She wasn't screaming at me. So, and I'm still trying to hustle while I moved to Atlanta. So it's like, hey, you know, why don't you come along? And that's just what it was. And then, as for the other situation, again, it became a character issue that we were fighting, that I was fighting, that I was upset that someone would say that I knew about this and I had something to do with this, when you know you planned this with him.
Yeah.
You knew that from the beginning. So someone you're just meeting and you're saying that, and again, when you're filming, you don't know what there is going to be kept or not. until after everyone else sees it. So, of course, I got to fight and defend myself because that's what I was fighting. But then when it's all done and you're still subject to everything at the end, you see what you see, and it looks like I'm just mad for no reason. But it's not like that.
Just defending your integrity a little bit.
Yeah,
and your brand, what you're trying to do.
And what I'm trying to do, and I'm all for women. Mm-hmm. You want to do something, do it and own it. I don't feel like anyone has a right to judge you. I've never said anything about her character. I've never said anything about her, how she looks. I never degraded another woman, how she looks. It was just about the issue of the facts, and I just feel like I like to stick to the facts.
Was there ever any belief that you felt like, Mimi girl, like, you know what, maybe we both kind of got a little played in the situation, and looking at Nico, like, what are you doing?
I've had that conversation with Nico many of times, but like I said, it's not the Margo and Nico show. There's times where, like, I'm surprised I didn't go to jail for the way I hit him, you know? Like, I've had my talks with him. But again, I feel like he just doesn't always do the brightest things. I don't think he does it. This is something they did together.
But you're saying he's not a malicious person?
No.
Okay. Because, you know, being a part of the media world, mm-hmm. we get the bios and all that, and his bio, it promotes that he is the number one villain on VH1. I'm right. like, if you ain't a villain, why are you promoting you a villain?
Right. I mean, well, look at, okay, when you watch movies, everyone likes the Joker, and then everyone likes Batman.
True.
People like the villain. They like watching
but
it.
There but there is a soft spot in the villain's
There's
heart.
A soft spot in the villain. We all remember when we saw that part where Heath Ledger, when they showed a little bit of the Joker, and why he got, like, the smile on his face.
You have an understanding.
Right, you have an understanding, and I feel like people don't really know that about him. I'm not saying he's perfect, because there's times where I've wanted to, like, to kill him, you know? But, again, I just know him differently, and as a woman who's always prided herself on woman power, seeing myself one day having my own company, and all that, when we were married, he never wanted me to be barefoot and pregnant. He was always pushing me to do my art, and that spoke volumes to me, and now my art is my baby. That's my child that I took out of the relationship. So we haven't physically had a kid, but that's how I look at it, and I just don't ever want to be vindictive. There's times where I could have, and I wanted to, but it wouldn't make me feel good. So I just put it in my music.
I can respect that. And we're going to talk about your music, but I just want last question. Mm. So you are no longer married to Nico.
We're still married. We're okay. just in the process of doing the whole divorce.
Finishing
yeah,
up.
Which takes actually longer than I thought.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it's not overnight. So, but yeah, we're still married.
And you're still in the relationship with the
my girlfriend
that we saw on the show?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to that.
Thank
All right.
you.
So let's talk about your music, though.
Okay.
I guess to set it up, let's play the infamous song, Start a War.
Okay.
Now, where did the idea for Start a War come from?
Well, to be honest, I was in the studio, and that was the day that it finally came out on all the blogs about what Nico did and, you know, his other half at the time. And I was like, what did I do to have this, like, nightmare come to pass? Because at the time, also, no one knew yet that who I was. So I had my own pain that nobody knew, and I was just like, God damn, like, you know, how, like, it was just, it was so painful. So that's really where the song came from.
Let's take a listen.
Oh, you have to have some Argo logo too.
And that's Avatar writing.
Is it really?
Yes. This is fucking hilarious.
The force. Woman army, knights in the rings, take me to the highest courts. Elevators, lift me up out of this. I don't wanna be here no more. I can't look down, snakes in the pits.
Is that hair?
I forget to close
oh,
the
it's
doors.
Mascara.
Oh.
Dance the devil in a row. Hold the white horse.
I wish my other co-host was here because she can do the best impression on this part. Right?
Really?
Not finished yet. I never meant to start a war. 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 I never meant to start a war.
It's supposed to be like Roman Colosseums. Like when I write, I think of videos. So this was like 300, but for girls.
Because I'm real confused about the album art. Do we have a picture of the album art with her face for Start a War? You're wearing a nun outfit. So go ahead. Yeah. You're writing the song. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking, okay, originally it was like picture 300 or Gladiator, but for girls. Like, girls would be like, you can be strong and be powerful, and you can fight through your emotions, like through your art, and like be powerful. That was what I was thinking, which was obviously a $1 million video, which I don't have right now. So, and then I started thinking about, like, yeah, nuns and like the Catholic Church and like anything that had to do with like Roman time periods, that, and then that's where I got that idea from. And plus, I was in Rome too, when I was writing a lot as well during that whole period.
What were you doing in Rome?
I was there with my girlfriend, just traveling, taking pictures. I went to Barcelona, tagged the wall with some Tokibo stuff.
All right.
Yeah, so.
Okay, so Start a War, we're going to get a video for it?
Yes, I'm doing the video now. I'm designing all the costumes, and I feel like I got to change the concept of originally what I wanted and still keep it creative, because when you're creative, you can always compete with money. Always.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm going to film it in New York, and it's going to come out the end of September. I hate saying dates exactly, because I've said, like, August.
And but in this business, you can never know a damn date, because something's always going to change the day before.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, I'm working on it now in the costumes. I put some of the sketches up on Instagram and drew them out exactly how I see it and want it to be. So.
And then,
it's exciting.
This is going to be a part of something called Yellow Dirty Rose.
Yes.
Tell us about
that. Okay, I can't tell you when I'm dropping that.
Okay.
But it's called Yellow Dirty Rose because I love roses, I love flowers.
But it's an EP.
It's an EP. Mm-hmm.
How many tracks are you going to put on there?
5, maybe 6. I'm still deciding because I have all of them done. I have so many records. Yellow Dirty Rose is because roses are beautiful and they're pretty, but when you think of roses, they're romantic and they're girly. But yellow is so obscure and it's offbeat and it's different. And flowers are pretty, but a little bit dirty means it's not perfect, and that's me. Like, I feel like I'm offbeat, I'm obscure, I'm not necessarily a red rose, but I'm definitely not perfect. I have dirt on me, and you know, but I actually just tell it all out there.
Yeah.
So it's my dirt to give and to share, and it's not perfect.
Mm. It's interesting because that's my mentality. And Arian actually mentioned it on the show. She said to Mimi, she said, girl, put your business out there before someone else puts your business out there, because you own it. Once you put it out there, it's like, well, what you going to say now, girl? Right. I know, I'm a slut. Like,
yeah.
Or whatever it is. I'm not saying that was the situation.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? You suck a dick one night, you do whatever you do the other night. As long as you come out and say it, ain't no one can own that over you.
That's another thing I said in that scene where it looked like I went crazy. I was like, you know what? If I suck dick, then I say I suck dick. If I do this, if I say I look pussy, then you just do that and you own it. Because it's like, who's anyone to judge you? We're all here as human beings.
All seen the scenes throughout the past 4 seasons or however many seasons.
Yeah, you just do your thing and keep it moving.
That's it.
Boom. Tokibo.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about this. So it's a cartoon that you're going to be releasing soon?
Not really soon, no. That's like, it was a side project, but again, that also took off faster than I expected. That's why this was really a great season for me, and I'm really blessed for the opportunity. I don't care what anyone says. That show has been a blessing in disguise. It was one big therapy session, and I was able to be me, focus on my art. But Tokibo, I started when I was here in L.A. I didn't have any money, and I started making bow ties. And that's something I actually did start at the time with Nico. We needed to make money, and I know how to sew, so I was making bow ties. And I was also performing and doing a couple of shows in San Diego. I didn't have money for a backdrop, so I got a big piece of canvas, and I love Japanese art. I just like... and characters. So I started drawing out these big robot characters that my...
How TLC of you.
And that's what happened. That's where Tokibo came. It was this big robot. It was wearing a bow tie. And then I said, oh, maybe I'll call him Tokibo. And then now it's just a different life it took. Like,
yeah,
it's, you know...
Because I saw the little, like, logo for the ties. But then from what you see...
Yeah, now it's skateboards.
Art issue, yeah.
And hand-painted skateboards and t-shirts and hats. I can't skateboard or shit, but I have friends that do. So it was just another medium for me. I want people thinking I can skateboard because I can't. I can't.
And some eight-inch...
heels, right? Yeah, that's not my deal. But I have friends that do, and yeah. So it'll come out eventually.
Worse.
Okay, and then you also have House of Margaux clothing. You have a dope varsity jacket.
Thank you. The guys really like the black and white one. I have a lot of pre-orders.
I didn't see the black and white one.
Yeah, it's black and white, and then right now there's a pink, white, and
yellow
one.
That's the one I saw, yeah.
Okay, and I have other colors that are coming. Really, everything just kind of took off before I was expecting to just do maybe one or few episodes, and that's it. But because I'm always focused on my art, that's just what keeps me going. I'm gonna have more colors of the varsity jackets, and it really just was merchandising for the music. But I wanted it to be cool. I didn't want like my big face over it for no reason. I wanted it to be something that was cool. So even if you didn't like me, you liked the jacket, or maybe you liked the pants.
Well, what's the logo? Because it looks like almost kind of a little bit like Jack from.
That's what a lot of people say.
Yeah, Before Christmas, but it's like a more skateboarder. Edgier version.
Yeah.
Like, that's where did that come from? Where did that just kind of pop in your head and you're like, I need to draw this?
Well, okay. I worked with, I have a team that I work with. When I said I wanted House of Margot, that face was supposed to be me. I love Tim Burton. I love his art. So I compiled all of these things I want. Tim Burton, happy faces, smiley faces, X's, Japanese art, an X that has to do with Margot, something with a house, something with a key. And at the end, we came up with that logo with the X, and there's a house. And the key, if you look at it close, it's an O and an F. So the key says of, and then the face is me, which is obscure and crazy.
And you have some leggings on there too. Very cute, the yellow, bright colors. Okay, so we have merchandise, we have art. Watching yourself back though, on reality TV, how does it change you as a person? Or as an artist, either or.
Let me see. As an artist, it definitely makes me even more focused on my craft than. I've always been focused, but even more focused, because you can't, there's like a lot of negative comments. There's a lot of good comments, but I feel like this show, I don't know if the housewives get this kind of stuff.
Oh, they get it all.
Do they? Okay.
It's hard. I'm going to keep it real with you, because I've done the after show for so long. It's hard for me, personally, to watch a lot of it and take a lot of your life seriously.
Right.
Because it gets to a point where you hear so many rumors about this person maybe faking the funk with the scene, or this person maybe pushing it a little bit, or they had to redo the scene a couple times, or wait, they're still filming. And it gets to a point of like, well, what am I believing here?
Right.
There's no way that these two people, and a lot of it when you don't see a full unedited show... And that really changed my life, seeing an unedited, like,
version.
Sitting through hours of footage was really an interesting moment for me. But you have, as a super fan of the show and as a host, I have to watch the edited version.
Right.
Where does anger come out sometimes as far as seeing certain things on TV and knowing, like, that's not how it happened, or, you know, it was taken out of context, or, you know, I should have said this instead of saying that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I mean, I know I was myself the whole time. Now, at the end, when you're still subject to the cut and editing floor, hey, as long as I can sleep at night, that was my mentality going in. Because I said what I said, if they use it, they use it, but I know what I signed for, so whatever. But yeah, there's been times I've been like seething with anger, like, what the fuck, really? But you know, I just go to yoga class and let it go.
I'm not gonna start a war.
Exactly. And like, not to blame anyone, because all the producers are mad cool, but I have understood that they can't keep everything.
You can't.
Yeah, but then there's some times where I was just like, oh man, that one, there's only been one time I was really, really, really upset.
What was the
scene? Very upset. That whole like $10,000 thing. I never asked for that for myself.
Oh my god, girl, I'm glad you reminded me, because I was looking at you like, Margot, first of all, where's Stevie going to pull $10,000 in from to give this to you?
Well, I'm glad you said that, because no one else said that, but I didn't ask for it for myself.
Me too, where are you thinking anyone getting $10,000 for the, what is this magazine? You didn't even know what the magazine was for.
Exactly, but they didn't show where he came in. He was like, oh, I'm working on these $3 million deals and these movies. Like, okay, so then you must have it, you know what I mean? So it wasn't for me. I asked for it to be Lost and Found, LGBT Youth, which is an organization in Atlanta. That's what I said. Three times. Three different occasions I said it. At the photo shoot, at the meeting, and with the other one. His other half.
What was the theme of the photo shoot? Because, girl, you was given, like, Avatar with, like,
it was
the
about
Start a War.
Yeah, it was about, like, the Start a War, the song, the EP. Well, at the time, it was just the single. I wasn't even going to do an EP. And Tokibo, and just me as an artist, my brand, that's really what it was about. Because when I met the guy Days. That's what the conversation was about, you know. And it wasn't about the money. That's why I was like, sure, I'll do it. You know, I didn't do my due diligence and check everything out. But it's like, if I'm doing something for another magazine, I'm not going to check out all the partners,
right.
You know. So,
Okay. So now you, you're out here in California. You have a performance. So you're touring and you're performing out there. Mm-hmm. When we see the scene of you and Jessica Diamond, you do your little surprise performance. Were you nervous? I mean, you looked a little nervous. You look because it kind of came out and you just kind of had your head down. What was that moment like for you?
No, I was actually a little tipsy. I wasn't nervous. I was excited. I like Diamond. She's cool. She's very sweet.
But what about the whole Mimi? I mean, obviously, Mimi, you know there's going to be a reaction.
Yeah. I mean, but again, it's like...
You just not care?
I didn't care. I'm an artist, and I know that there's parts of stuff that I can't control. Like, that's part of the show. They're going to be there. You know, that's what it is. So, I didn't really care. I'm like, they don't like me anyway, so... But I'm still an artist. I mean, I don't really care what they think about me.
So, going in for a second season, is that something that you would be open to? Is that something that... Okay, if I'm going to do it, I need to understand that, you know, maybe that one line of the $10,000 ain't going to be involved, so I have to go in a different mentality?
I'll still be myself. Still stay calm, you know.
You would be open to another season?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I mean, I had fun. I really did. I had a good time because, I was myself, and it was real for me. And there are times that it was really hard, but it was real for me, and it was really like one big therapy session. I feel like if you go into it being yourself, it can be okay. Maybe it's not like that for other people. I mean, like, I know it wasn't that... Nico had a hard time, but he also had no one that really knew him. He had no one that was fighting for him, and it's like, I know him differently. I'm not saying he's perfect, because we fight, too, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and we're better off, like, separated. But at the same time, like, I was myself, so I would,
And then kind of some of the negative media, I mean, I don't really know what to call it, but we live in a generation where you could... just like get a freeze frame of the wrong face and all of a sudden it becomes this meme.
Oh my god. You know how many memes there are of me?
Yes, girl, I know how many there are. I feel like I posted one of you. I think I posted the one where it was like the $10,000, here's your drink or something like that. But like, and then it's so funny because we were watching your lyric video for Start a War and one of the text, I'm a big fan of Avatar.
Okay.
And I know Avatar is one that people post you next to the Avatar guy. And you have the Avatar script writing. Not that you probably even knew that, but like, so is it something that at first you were kind of like, wait, what's going on? Or, I mean, you seem crazy and out there, like, it's more, like, to me, I would love for the day.
I love it. I love being compared to Avatar. I love, they think it's insulting, but it's not. And they also compare me to the chick from Mortal Kombat. That's dope.
I said you wanted to be My Little Pony so bad. When I first started seeing you,
because
you
have
this
different hair,
every week it'd be like a different, I'm like, what color is this bitch going to come in with today?
Yeah.
A little mohawk.
But I mean, I don't mind being the offbeat, obscure one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's me. I don't really think it's that offbeat, maybe compared to some of the
Some of the other
girls.
Ones are like mean. Like they'd be calling them like whore's thoughts.
Yeah.
Dirty diapers and diaper right. pants and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I'm not called that. And I'm like, they don't say anything about my music, so... You know, I mean, because that's what I focus on, and I know it in here. So they can call me whatever they want to call me, but it just, it doesn't mean anything. It's like, would you talk to a barn animal? Who would be the idiot? You know, it's like, if you argue with a barn animal, who's more of the idiot?
Yeah.
You or the barn animal?
Right.
So sometimes you just have to, like, which is also a thing I find within, like, black hip-hop, black culture.
Yeah.
It's, you get respect if you, like, curse someone else out or you throw something. I'm like, well, times need to change because I'm not doing that. Sorry. I'm not doing that. If that means...
Was that hard for you at the reunion? Because it seems like we're going to see some a lot of name-calling and aggression.
From me?
Well, towards you.
Uh-huh.
What was the reunion like for you filming that? Because now you're in a room with everybody.
Right.
And everybody hates your man.
I know. And they don't even know why. They don't even know why they don't even like him. That's the funny thing. Okay, they don't like... I mean, I feel like... Let's stick to the facts.
Well, I don't know why they can't, but as a fan, in an edited version, he comes off as a manipulator and the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing, because for me personally, I don't like to be on the Shade Room. I don't like to be in the gossip blogs learning about y'all, because that ruins the show for me, because it's right. Like, well, now I don't want to watch this show because it don't even seem real to me.
Exactly.
So I like to watch it every week fresh and new. So that's why it's like I don't like to follow people on Instagram and like mm-hmm. get tea and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So as a fan, mm-hmm. it is confusing as to why everybody's kind of mad. But I understand why I'm mad at him, because it comes across as he is an evil character and mm-hmm. manipulative and played you and Mimi.
No.
Now, hearing your version, you've come in
yeah.
and you've explained your version. Now, you know, I mean, I'm going to take that and yeah. I'm going to let that sit mm-hmm. and I'm going to sit and hopefully get a chance to sit with Mimi and get a chance to sit with Nico mm-hmm. And hear everybody's on kind of. You know what I mean? Put it together. But
yeah, I mean, he's not perfect, you know? And there's I don't know his relationship with her, but I know what he didn't do in terms of the one specific issue that was the main thing. And I just feel like I'm a newbie on the show, so I'm still kind of the rookie, which, it you know, it was worked out for me. I got to film a lot and get, you know, talk about a lot of stuff. But I'm like, come on, we're not going to talk about the fact that you decided to finally tell the truth because you had no chance to. So there's a lot of people, too, that because they've been there longer, it's a pecking order. There's certain things that when they cry because they can't take it, their guts can't take it, they don't yep. want certain questions asked. So we're not going to talk about the fact that you...
Oh, honey, let them come into AfterBuzz and we'll ask
exactly.
all the
but they, none of those questions were addressed. And then it's like, why are you going to ask this pig what she should give Nico for 25% or whatever? It's like... And then it's like, you know, dealing with, like, the barn animal who was yelling from the seat. It's kind of like, I'm sorry, but if your level of thinking is that you're gay because you don't have kids... I, what am I supposed to say to that? Like, I just don't even know what to say.
What can you say, you know?
I would just rather not converse. That's why I was high and I was meditating and I was fine. Like, I'm just not going to converse with that kind of rhetoric. It's just piggish. You can have a bunch of different... It means... Her logic is, okay, to be a straight man in America, you can have a bunch of kids by a woman and not pay child support. You can have a bunch of different kids at the same time and get them pregnant. But if you don't have kids, you're gay. She's a fucking idiot. Like, we don't have kids because I didn't want to have kids because I was focused on my art. Maybe she wasn't, clearly. But I'm saying that, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the logic. So now I'm supposed to argue with that? Come on.
Well, there were other rumors in the Atlanta world yeah. about him and the whole DL thing.
It's so bullshit. And that's another thing that pisses me off. The whole down low thing. There's men that are dying every day of AIDS, women dying of AIDS because men are ashamed to not come out of the closet, especially within the black community. So that's the best you got.
Well,
you don't like him.
That comes to that. Come I was on. Actually having a conversation with somebody about that, just to kind of go into that. But
yeah.
a lot of it comes from the fact of like men saying, well, I'm bisexual. I can love a woman and a man, but a woman won't give a bisexual man a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But a man will give a bisexual woman a chance.
Exactly.
So,
but he's not gay, he's not bisexual, he's just not. It's like, if he was, he would say he was, but he's not. And if he was, which he's not, are you saying it's bad? Because they keep using this whole gay thing as a slur. And then when she's like, I'm gay, that's just to try and show...
Well, they use it as a slur because we're supposed to believe, well, and from what we're watching, mm-hmm. y'all are married, and if you're married... And there's these gay rumors, it's like...
That's the rumors that they put up because they don't like him, and they're not intelligent enough to stick to the facts as to why they don't like him. I get it. You don't like him because of whatever he did with Mimi. You don't like him because you feel like he's a manipulator. Okay, that's fine, but stick to the facts. Mm. But because you're not intelligent enough to articulate that, you want to say he's gay. Come on. You're a grown fucking man. Come up with something else. I'm a big supporter of the LGBT community, and that's another thing I said. The more you keep using this as a diss, I will gather everyone behind me, and I will fucking burn you and erase you. I don't like it. It's not funny. It's not cool. Come up with something else. And the barn animal, the level of her LGBT is come suck my pussy. I'm sorry. Like, I'm way too smart and talented to be fucking communicating about that.
Well, Margo,
whatever it is.
So we're going to see from you a Yellow Dirty Rose EP dropping. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. hopefully sooner than later. Yes. But what we need sooner than later is the video for Star Wars. Because, I mean, girl, if I hear this song one more time and can't see a video or something visual to this, I'm going to be like, girl, I'm going to start a war with you.
I wasn't even expecting to do a video.
Really?
The
way y'all be promoting it on the damn show, I mean, it stuck
blessed.
In my head.
I'm blessed that they did that. They liked the song. That's what I'm saying. It was a really good season for me. The producers were cool. Everyone was cool. I did get along with a lot of people behind the scenes, more so than the
Did
cast.
You notice that a lot of the cast, maybe behind the scenes, you're cool, and then all of a sudden it's like, bitch? Because the reason I always bring that up is Kalina. Mm-hmm. In her diss track to Rashida, came out to say, like, girl, you selling... That. Oh, yeah, girl. talking about, right, the same week as Meek Mill and Drake, she had a diss track to Rashida talking about, you sell yourself for a scene. Mm. And we see her say on the show, too, kind of like, you doing this for a scene right now? Mm. For a scene.
And people do it. They will. Some people will drink out of a toilet bowl if you tell them to for a scene. I'm not going to comment on certain things because, you know...
Comment.
No, I won't say anything, but...
Girl, you done already called someone a barn animal. I'm already sitting over here just satisfied with my tea.
Because, like, it was very hard for me to come out to my family about my girlfriend. Mm. So when people try and use things as
Did you
show,
come out to your family before it came out? Okay.
Yeah, and I didn't even want... I had anxiety because my parents are Jamaican, you know? And she's Russian. Two very homophobic places. It was hard for me, you know, and when I first told my little sister, she took it harder than I thought, which made it hard for me to tell my mom. Yeah. I've always been very free, so I was like, oh, my mom, she'll be fine. But when my little sister took it hard, I was like, oh, maybe I should wait to tell my mom. So when people use it to be sensational or think it's cool or think it's hot or because guys like it, it bothers me. If you're a supporter, cool, but since day one, say that. Don't just try and throw it out now like you think because you're trying to, like, play a game. Like, you know, that's what I don't have respect for. So I apologize about the barn animal thing. You know?
Nah, you know, be real.
You know what I mean? We all just say what we want to say. All right, so Tokibo, mm-hmm. House of Margo. Make sure you guys check out houseofmargo.com.
Yes.
For sure.
MARGEAUX.
Yes, because, girl, I've spelled it like four or five different times trying to think.
Yeah. You can spell it G-O, too. People
well, yeah,
do.
That one instantly takes you to it also as well. Yeah. All right, but before we wrap up, I just got to tell you guys about this. This is Draft King. You guys got to check this out. It is one of the biggest fantasy sports sites anywhere. $10 million in prizes are up for grabs, including $2 million for first place and $1 million for second place. 1 week fantasy means no season-long commitments. So this isn't a fantasy as usual. This is Draft Kings. A few preseason games to go before the regular season kicks off, so hurry to DraftKings.com now and use the promo code GEEK to play for a free shot at the $2 million prize in a week one millionaire. So if you guys want to win a whole bunch of money, go to DraftKings.com and use our promo code GEEK.
Yeah, go do
that.
We
just helping you out. You know what I'm saying?
You feel me?
All right, Margo.
Let's go.
Yes.
Start a war. Yellow Dirty Rose. On. She put her shades on. I know you should have had that on for the past 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Tokibo.
Let's fly.
What else are we expecting from you as far as fashion-wise?
Well, I'm going to do a couple of showings, Fashion Week in New York, just with my friends, like, you know, like little clubs, and I'll be performing. And I'm just going to upload different stuff on the store page every now and then. Eventually, it'll be a full store, but I don't want to rush it, you know? Like, I want to take my time, and I'm really blessed for the pre-orders. That's really cool. So I just want people to know that I do it, and I do it right, but it's in conjunction with the music, so... Just I'll always update and say, here, go check it out. And it's unisex, so it's for girls and guys.
Mm-hmm. Boom. And where can everyone follow you online?
Instagram is at House of Margo, Twitter at House of Margo, and my website is houseofmargo.com.
Everywhere at House of Margo.
There
Jay.
It is.
Yeah.
Everybody can make sure to follow me at That Dude Jay Watts, THAT, Dude Jay Watts.
Boom, you guys Let's can hit us it. Up at Black Hollywood Live at BHL Online. Also on Twitter, I mean on Instagram at The Beat TV. And you guys can tweet me everywhere at DJ Jesse J. Till next week, same time, same place.
Thanks, Peace. Guys.
Thank you.
Let's go.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live. the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagrammy, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Music redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.